Ramban Parshas Chayesara. So the Parsha begins with a very famous Rashi on the first Pasuk that the years of Sarah were Mea Shana, Ve'esrim Shana, Ve'sheva Shana, Mishnei Chayesara. So Rashi says that she was 100 to 20 was the same, like he's darshaning all the Shanas. It says it's 100 Shana, 20 Shana, 7 Shana, why didn't just say 27? They teach you that 100 was like 20 for Chayt and 20 to 7 for beauty, and Shnei Chayesara, the repeating of Shnei Chayesara, is to teach it that they were all equally good. Okay, Shnei Kulin Shavan Latova. So the Ramban disagrees for some questions that I think, you know, once you see them, they seem pretty obvious. I don't know what Rashi would answer, but he says this exact kind of lashon is said by other people when this is not true. For instance, by Yishmael in Perek Chaf Hey, Pasuk Yud Zayin, it says Ve'ela Shnei Chaye Yishmael Ma'as Shana Oshloshim Shana V'Sheva Shanim, and there's no such drasha there, and they're certainly not Shavin Latova, you know, because they're he was a Rasha and then he was a Tzadik. They're not at all Shavin Latova over there. And secondly, all the Shanas are there to, he says, to split up, not to say that they're all the same. It's to say that they're different. This is 100 and there's 20, and it's not to say they're all the same. Anyway, he thinks the whole thing is not a drush. I mean, the extra Shanas are just, that's their Chalashon. And the drusha that you find in Bereishis Rabba, that she was like 100 to 20 for Chet, Rashi is just bringing a Medrash. So Bereishis Rabba, she was like 100 for 20, similar to 20 for Chet and 20 to 7 for Yofi. That's because it says at the end, Shnei Chaye Sara, which is a repeat. So it's that's where the drusha comes from, the extra Shnei Chaye Sara, nothing else. So when it does it by Avram, for example, also by Avram, it has the same thing, 100 Shana, whatever, 70 Shana, 5 Shana. And we don't have a drasha that they're all Shamla Tovah, because there's no repeat. By those two, it doesn't say Shnei Chaye Avram, or by Yishmael, Shnei Chaye Yishmael. Doesn't say that. So the whole drasha is from that part. That's the part that makes it, that we have to somehow make these things that are said separately, but it's normal. In other words, it's a normal Derech Halashon to write it, because you find it by Avram, Sarah, and Yishmael, the Shana a bunch of times. It's just, since it ends by Sarah, Shnei Chaye Sarah, that means you have to somehow put it together. And so that's how you put it together. Whereas by Yishmael and Avram, don't say Shnei Chaye Sarah, says nothing, Shnei Chaye Him, says nothing to put together, and therefore there's no Josha at all. Okay, next. Now Avram comes to bury Sarah, and he comes to the people of Bnei Ches, and he says, if you guys want to bury her, milfanai. What does the word milfanai mean? So the Ramban says, he means to say, I'm not burying her anywhere else other than Maaseh Machpelah. And if you don't let me bury her there, I'm not even going to bury her. I'm just going to leave her right here in an aron. In other words, if you want to bury her, milfanai, because she's sitting here in front of me, if you want to have her not here, then I need Maaseh Machpelah. Otherwise, she's just going to stay right here. Now, the truth is, it says the word milfanai in the previous pasuk, but I guess it's partnered with here that it says, Em yesh nafshachem likbor es meisi milfanai. Anyway, he was responding. He said, he needed to bury his wife. They said, oh, you can get up anywhere. And he said, I don't need anywhere. I need Ephron. I'm going to Maaseh Machpelah, and that's it. And he asked them to go get Ephron, because Ephron was, he said, the Ramban says, is an usher in an echbed. He was a rich guy, a chashev guy in the town. And chashev people don't go selling their family properties. So he wanted them to go get him for him. Because otherwise, Avram could have just gone there and offered $1 million, because that's what he had to pay in the end. But it wasn't bekavadik for such a person to sell it at all. It's a family property. So that's why he asked them, the Anshei Ha'ir, that they should go, you know, this will be more honorable to ask Ephron to sell it. And he says, he'll give it to me. But it's still a matana. That's what the Ramban says. Keep saying, because even if I pay $1 million, I still know for him to sell this place, is I'll view it as a matana. Okay, and then the actual name of it, Maaseh Machpelah. So Rashi says, why is it called Maaseh Machpelah? Because it's a there's two floors, a bottom floor and a top floor. Or possibly another pshat is because it has, it's muchpol bezugos, it has different groups of couples. So that's a Gemara. So the Ramban, even though it's a Gemara, doesn't think that the Gemara meant to say that that's why the Ma'ara is called that, because he says the whole city was called Machpela, or the area, because it says stay in the Pasuk Zion, it says stay Afron Asher b'Machpela. So it means the area was called Machpela. But whatever it is, that's how it's got its name, because Gemara says that, and it says Shekafa l'Kadosh Baruch Hu Komaso Shel Adam Rishon Ukbara B'Socho. Hashem bent over Adam Rishon and buried him in there. Okay, so whatever the pshat is, what's interesting about this, the Ramban points out, is if Adam Rishon was there, so then this Maras HaMachpela wasn't Stam Ephron's, you know, backyard. It seems Ephron didn't know what he had in his backyard over there in the Ma'ara. But that means this was Adam Rishon's buried there. This is a chashuv place for a long time. So when Avram came to bury the field, I assume that Ephron didn't know what he was selling. And not only that, the Ramban says it must be Ephron didn't know why everybody called it Machpela. You know, there's a lot of things people forget why things are called things. And then, you know, the Chumash is telling you it's called Machpela because Adam Rishon was doubled over in there. But Ephron probably didn't know that. Nobody knew that Adam Rishon was buried in there. But the Torah does, and it was just people forgot why it was called Machpel. I'll give you a very good example. If any of you listening to this, if anyone's listening to this, there's a street in Brooklyn. There's Flatbush is an area of Brooklyn, and there's a street called King's Highway, which is pretty famous. And I remember once reading a book about American history, and it was quoting directly from, you know, diaries of British soldiers. This is pre-America. Diaries of British soldiers. And during the war, the Revolutionary War, is the book was 1776 by David McCullough. And he mentioned in the war, the Battle of New York or whatever, or maybe before, I don't remember exactly, but British soldiers talking about how they were crossing through a little hamlet called Flatbush and they rode on the King's Highway. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's called King's Highway because it was the King's Highway. Flatbush was called Flatbush since before America, and King's Highway is King's Highway because it was the King's Highway. Anyway, point is, people have no idea. People don't realize why things are called things. So Machpelah is the same thing. It was called Machpelah. Who knows why? Okay, so Torah is telling you why. Because Adam Rishon's was buried in there. He was doubled over. That's why it's called Machpelah. Regardless, Ephron Mestama did not know this, but anyway, that's what he was telling him to sell. Now, Ephron, like I said, probably didn't know this. Avram asked to buy the cave, and Ephron says that he's going to sell him the field and the cave. So that was a negotiation of a sort or a trick or something. And Ephron was trying to say, Derech Musar, oh, just to have the actual cave, you know, that's not, and someone else should own the field that it's in, that's not mechub, but I'll sell you the field and the cave. Okay, and the Ramban just generally says about this whole incident that it was said in the Parsha to tell you how great Avram was, that everybody thought it was so cool that he came to town. And they said, Nasi Elokim Ata B'Zocheinu, that people were so enamored of him and worshipped him. And he didn't have any position, officially. He was just the man of God. And that how chashev he was in the land. People would call him Adoni. And so it was Mekuyim by him, the Pasuk, V'agadla Shemech V'yei Bracha, what Hashem promised him had happened. That he became very well known and famous and had all good. And that his wife was buried in a chashuv place, Maras HaMachpelah, where Adam Rishon was. And to tell you, and this is an important line, Ki ratza lahodienu makom kvuras avos, and wanted us to know where Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, all these people are buried. Ba'asher anachnu chayovim lechabin makom kvuras avosenu hakadoshim, because we are obligated to respect the place that our avos are buried. And he doesn't just mean the avos with a, you know, capital A. All avos. You know, everyone's mechabit to be mechabit, the makom kvuras of their fathers. Interesting. And the other one is what the Gemara says. This is one of the ten nisyonos. You know, there's different counts of what the ten nisyonos are. And according to some, the second hardest nisayon was Akedah Yitzchak, and the hardest one was this one. This is the tenth. At the very least, it's one of them. that he was promised Eretz Yisrael, and then he, when he had to bury his wife, he couldn't even find someone to sell it, to give it to him, except for like a bazillion dollars. Okay. And just an interesting side comment, he says, the Ibn Ezra says that this was taught to teach us the Maila of Eretz Yisrael, even for living and for dead, because he tried so hard to have Sarah buried in Eretz Yisrael. It's just interesting, the Ramban, you know, it's hard to imagine that you would disagree with that. But the Ramban just says, you know, that's not pshat, because, like, where else would he bury her? She died in Israel. He's going to schlep her, take her body to another country to bury her. So, like, anyway, that's just an interesting point. Okay, now this is also just a very subtle point, but interesting. Avram Zaken Ba Bayamim. It says Avram was a Zaken Ba Bayamim. Now, we had before Ba'im Bayamim. So, I think that was by Sarah Chadali Yosef Sarah Orach Hanashim, right? So, sometimes it says Ba'im Bayamim. Ba'im Bayamim means they're coming. The days are coming. Coming in their days. That means that they're old, but not so old. Avram was ba bayamim. He already came. That means he's old. Like, it's, you know, and there's different types of old people. Some people are elderly and they're functioning just fine. And then there are older people who are already, you know, not just looking old, but, you know, slower or whatever. And that's ba bayamim. They're alive, but they're ba bayamim means it's, I guess it was nicker. They weren't... They were getting old. Okay, and it says, Hashem Berachas Avram Bakol. Hashem blessed Avram Bakol. What does Bakol mean? So, Bashem Shana means everything. He had money, he had wealth, he had covered, which he had all of that. The only thing he didn't have was a kid. Sorry, I said the wrong, a grandkid. He didn't have, a Yorish being Omid, because Yitzchak was not married yet. So, it says, "Vashem berachas Avram bakol." We all know the Medrash Rashi brings. What bakol means? Rebbe Yomer shlohayse lo bas. He didn't have a daughter. So, right, Hashem, God blessed Avraham. Rebbe Meir says his blessing was that he did not have a daughter. Rashi doesn't quote this whole Medrash. Okay, not the first part. Rebbe Yehuda Omer basai sela. Rebbe Yehuda says no, the opposite. He had a daughter. Others say Basai Salah Bakol Shema. He had a daughter. Her name was Bakol. That's Hashem Birachas Avram Bakol. So either means everything in that he didn't have a daughter, according to Rav Meir. He blessed him in everything in that he did have a daughter, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Or according to the Acherim, he had a daughter. Her name was Bakol. Actually, my mistake. I don't know why I got confused here. I see Rashi only brings the that it's Bakol means that he had a ben. Anyway, but this is what the Ramban brings, his own, the Gemara Bava Basra, that's where we're all familiar with it from. Those are the possibilities. So the Ramban explains, what is the meaning of all those? First of all, why would it be a blessing to not have a daughter? Why does Rabbi Yehuda, for whatever reason that is, why does Rabbi Yehuda disagree? And the Acherim, it's just like, is this just being cutesy? That her name was Bakol, and that's what they're arguing about? So the Ramban says, no, first of all, okay, here's the pshat. Rabbi Meir says his blessing was he did not have a bas. Why is that a blessing? Because would she have married? She would have had to marry someone from Canaan. And then that would have been bad. She would end up having to worship Avodah Zarah like him because the daughter is Bershus the Baal, certainly then. So if she would have married an Ovid Avodah Zarah, she would have gone off and had to marry Ovid Avodah Zarah. So it was good that he did not have a daughter. Then there's Rabbi Yehuda. Also, he says she would have had to possibly leave Israel, and she certainly worshiping Avodah Zarah, that would be bad. Rabbi Yehuda said, no, the opposite. He did have a daughter. And that's a bracha, because people want to have a boy and a girl, and everybody wants to have children. So that's fine. And the Acherim say what the name of the daughter is. So the Ramban says, no, it is not just to say the name of the daughter. That is not what the Acherim meant to say. This is Medrash, they don't take everything literally. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir were arguing about literally, did he have a daughter? The Acherim are not coming to say what it sounds like, that they had a daughter and her name was Bakol. He says this is totally alpisod, alpikabola. What does it mean? He had a daughter and her name was Bakol. It means the concept of Bakol and the concept of daughter. And obviously, I'm not a Makobol, I'm not going to, but it's a very long Ramban. Usually, his Derech Sod is kind of short This is pretty significant. It's very, very, very long. Going into what does it mean that the Mida of Bako was his daughter? It's a whole, whatever, I'll be Kabbalah, but not for us, but it's just, he says he wrote the whole thing to let everyone know, no, this is not a joke. This is serious, what it means that he had a daughter and his daughter's name was Bakal. It's a whole Indian of the concept of Bakal was his daughter. Okay. Then we have Shbiach HaBashem. He makes him swear. He makes Eliezer swear. And he does not bother telling Yitzhak, which is just interesting. He just makes the Eved swear because he knows that Yitzhak will follow that. Furthermore, he said, perhaps because the Eved was the apotropos. He was the one who controlled the estate. And he said that Eliezer should find the proper girl who he said from his family, whatever, for Yitzchak. And it's Amanas Cain, meaning if he wants to get the inheritance, it's got to be married to that person. And that's why it says, HaMoshe B'chol HaShelo, that's why he told Eliezer, because that was the Tanai of the executor of the estate, that he had that Yitzchak had to marry the person he said, from the family he said. There's another interesting Ramban, and not so much I'm saying it over for the pshat and the pasuk, but more just what comes out Agav, which is when Eliezer is davening for a wife for that he should meet the wife of Yitzchak, and he says, the lady who's going to give me what to drink when I ask her, so the Ramban says that was all the tefillah. That you'll show me the one who I'm going to happen upon the one who does all this, but the Agav thing, which is A, she's going to do chesed, and I will know that this is the one. Imtia, the Ramban says, Imtia mi mishpachto. Besides, I would say she did the chesed, but also I don't know she's the one. Imtia mi mishpachto v'tova seichel v'fas marad. Obviously, the one that's going to be for Avram, besides Abalas chesed, will be from his family, and tova seichel v'fas marad. She's got a good head, and she's Yifas Mara. She's beautiful. I just found that interesting why that's a thing. Maybe for the covet of Avram and Klal Yisrael, like the Torah says, they were all beautiful. Or like Rav Schwab says, that back, the Rav Schwab actually never saw it inside, but I always heard it quoted, that there was, in the times of the Torah, if someone was beautiful on the outside, then they were beautiful on the inside. Okay, meaning that it was the neshama effect of the guf in that. The person would be beautiful if they were a tzaddik. Okay. Now, we know the miracle happened that when Rivka came, Rashi says that the water came up to her. This is an important point. It says, she went to go vatamale kada vata'al. She went to go bring it up, vata'al, and it came to her. That's how we know that the water rose to greet her. But what's interesting is the next line, which is, then she says, it says later, that she drew for all of his camels. So the drasha that we learn that the water came up to her, that's from the Bereishis Rabbah, as it says, "Vatamlei chata vata'al," is because it says it came up to her, and it doesn't say "Vatishav." That's what the Ramban says. But if that's the case, later on it does say "Vatishav." So the Ramban learns from here, in a chanami, it worked once. She came to the well once. That one time it came up for her, and after that she had to do it herself. Which just makes the whole chesed much more beautiful. In other words, if she said, "Oh, I'll be happy to feed you, give you to drink from the well," then she slept to the well and was schlepping up, every time another bucket of water. Camels drink a ton. Wow. But if she went up there and it was like every time a day she walked to the well, boop, right into the thing. It wasn't that hard. Still be hard. Wasn't that hard. As hard. But like this, like the Ramban is saying, it was still hard. Once it came up for her. The rest of the time, she had a lower end, the whole thing, which makes it a real chesed. I mean, a bigger chesed. Okay, then we have, Eliezer comes to the house, and it says, Vayiv hatacha gemalim. He opened or untied the gemalim. So Rashi says, Hitir zamam shalahem, that he undid their muzzles. because he was covering their mouths so that they shouldn't feed in other people's backyards. They shouldn't eat other people's stuff. So that's from the Bereishis Rabbah. But the Pashup Shad, of course, is just by Yifatach HaGemalim, means he just untied them. Like they, you know, you lead camels with a thing around their neck, or they're tied together, so he untied them. So the Ramban just brings, it's just interesting, the full Bereishis Rabbah is, one Tana says, Hitesh Mameyam, and Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yirmiya, Shaul, Rabbi Chiyah, Rabbi Abba, they said to him, L'hoyu Gemalav Shal Avram Avinu Dolmim L'chamorav Shal Pinchas Ben Yair, was Avram's camels worse than Pinchas Ben Yair? Meaning that the Gemara says that Pinchas Ben Yair was a holy man, and such so holy that it affected his animals, and his animals would not eat, I think it was something that didn't have Trumas of Isis taken off from it, something like that. Gneva, you're saying Avram's Gemalim were not as holy as Reb Chiya Bar Abba, because Pinchas Ben Yair was holier than Avram Avinu, and Avram Avinu's camels had that problem? As the Ramban says, lo yuna tzaddik alavon. This shouldn't happen to a real tzaddik, so you're not going to say Pinchas Ben Yair was holier than Avram. So how could it be that Avram's animals needed to be muzzled and Pinchas Ben Yair's didn't? And there's no response in Bereishis Rabbah. So the Ramban, I guess, is pointing out that Rashi quoted this, but really, it's schlugged up. It's just wrong. I mean, the Tanaim asked on him, and it was like Tiyufta, that person Tiyufta. I guess that's how the Ramban understands it. For whatever it's worth, I imagine Rashi would still say that Tana would have had a response. That would have been that he didn't want to be so Michelanes, or he wanted to show other people the way they're supposed to be. Or it would have been Mar Zion if he had his camels unmuzzled when people should normally muzzle their camels. Okay, then, so Eliezer brings Rivka home, and she sees him, and she turns away, or she's ex with great Sneas, and he brings her into Sarah's house. So why does the Rabban ask, why does the Torah tell us, yeah, Yitzchak ka'ola Sarah Imo, that Lashon, that he brought her into to the tent of Sarah Imo. So he wanted to say that Yitzchak had this kavod, that he was knowing with his mother, that from the time his mother died, like her ohel was just left alone. Nobody could touch it. Nobody planted, used it. That was Sarah's ohel. But when Rivka came, she was roi to have the ohel. Like she was holy too, and she was roi to have the ohel. And also, I don't know if the word is emotionally, but she took over for him, for her. Meaning Yitzchak was very attached to his mother, and Rivka. And then when he got married to Rivka, so then he was misnachim in the death of his mother and loved Rivka. Okay, then it says that Avram, Livnei HaPilakshim Shel Avram Nathan Avram Matanos. So the Pilakshim. So the Ramban says everyone married to him other than Sarah was called Pilakshim, even though they weren't actually all Pilakshim, because he understands that Hagar was a Pilagesh, but Keturah, assuming they were separate people, was not a Pilagesh. Keturah was, she was considered a Pilagesh, but in like actual halacha, she was not. He was fully married to her. Because it says, Vayikach Isho Shema Keturah. That does not sound like Pilagshus. So he was actually married to Keturah. Not, it was a Pilagish to Hagar. But they're both called Pilagshim because they weren't the Iker. The main one was Sarah. It just comes out, the Ramban says, that if he married Keturah, then he married someone from Benos Canaan. Because she was from Canaan. And he says, Ki enenu shomer rak zera Yitzchak, ki yalav nichas abris. There was a special bris with Yitzchak, so he couldn't marry someone from there. But not Avram already had his Iker told us, and he could marry someone like that. And he said, Rashi also says, Nashim b'ksuva, pilakshim shalom b'ksuva. It sounds like the difference between a wife and a pilagish is one has a ksuva, one does not. So the Ramban says, no. That's not how you define it. Nashim b'ksuva, that's it. Pilegesh. The difference, the Torah is talking, is here. There's a Torah talking about a pilegesh versus not a pilegesh. The whole difference is ksuva. Ksuva is not even daraisa, according to many. So how could it be talking, how could that be that that's the only difference? Rather, the difference is kedushin or no kedushin. That's the good difference. You know, with a pilegesh, you don't have formal kedushin. And you certainly don't have a ksuva. But with a wife, you have a kedushin. And later on, or if you did or decided to do, you'd have a ksuva. But he admits it's possible that what we're talking about is convention. In other words, when someone would not have a, if someone would take someone else as a pilegesh, as an isha, it's possible. In other words, in the time of Bnei Noach, even though ksuva is not daraisa, it could be that that was the minig. The minig was to write a ksuva, even in the times of Bnei Noach, that when they would get married, like whatever marriage of Bnei Noach is, then they would have a minig to write a ksuva, whereas when they took a pilegesh, they did not have a minig to write a ksuva. Okay, then it says that Avram died zaken v'saveya. What does it mean he was saveya? He was satisfied. So you might think this means that he had every taiva in the world. That's what it must be, that he was saveya. No, the Rabban says, this is Sipur Chaste Hashem B'tzadikim Midatova Behem, that, first of all, that basically they don't, just the opposite. If someone wants taivas, it's not possible to have enough. Oiv kesef l'yisba kesef. If a person is loves money, they're never going to have, there's never enough. Bill Gates, all these guys, they don't, you know, there's never enough money. Never enough money in the world. So, what does it mean, zaken misaveya? It means they have everything. They don't need more. They don't want more. Tzadikim are not interested in olam hazeh. They need what they need for what they have to do, and he had everything he could possibly want for his avoda. He was great. Everything, he had everything. And he didn't need everything. He was saveya, right? Just like we said, that's what an usher is. Sameach b'chalko. Doesn't want anymore. He's happy with what he has. Now, Abraham happened to be rich, but rich people still want more riches. He didn't want more riches. He was very happy with what he had. That's saveya. But it just brings the Medrash, says the Medrash is he was saveya because he got to see what his olam haba would be. Then Hashem showed him a olam haba, and that's why he was saveya. And just generally about the concept of gviya, so the Ramban brings two possibilities what gviya means. Because we have vayigva v'yasef el amav, right? So it says gviya, Rashi brings it, gviya is only by tzadikim. And then, like the Ramban brings the Gemara, I, the Dora Mabel, says, Vayigva kalabasar, rather it's Vayigva v'yayasef, is only about tzaddikim. But what does the Lashon Gviya mean? So, the Ramban in his first chat means, Gviya is dying without any tzaros, like just a peaceful death, without any horrible diseases. That's only for tzaddikim. And the Anshi Dora Mabel, they all died pretty quick, so they're also called Gviya. Baveyasef elamov means the person would be a tzaddik. So that's one pshat, that vayigva means an easy death. And just brings another pshat. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, kol mishan emrevo gviya meis bachalim ayayim. Just the opposite. The person says gviya, they were sick. And then you'd have to say, by dor hamabo, kol shaber tzigva means something else. He says, yitzmok, I don't know exactly what that means. I'll be shriveled. It was a painful death, the opposite. And that's a kapara for tzaddikim, so that's why it's good for tzaddikim. It says, "Vayigva v'yamas v'yasef alamav," means, but he would have died with that death, which would be a kapara for them.